going a little, reading a little more than I. Let me go on. I'll add the seventh. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John saying, "Go make preparation for us to eat the Passover." "Where you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water, he'll meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He'll show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, and so they prepared the Passover. When the hour came and Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, he said to them, "I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I'll not eat it again until it finds its fulfillment in the kingdom of God." And after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you, Amen. I want to talk about more than juice and crackers, more than juice and crackers. Today I want to take some time and share with you that when you hear of the Lord's Supper, there is a vocabulary that goes with that you'll hear about some among Baptists and other faiths use different words. But I want to show you in the text today each reference where these words are, there's a reference to these words, and I want to explain and share with you the meaning. And so I'm going to give you an explanation and show you the Lord's Supper and or the Last Supper in this text. And then I'm going to talk about another word, communion. You don't see the word itself in the text, but it's a reference to communion. And then we're going to talk about the word Eucharist, because there may be places and times where you will be in other congregations among other people, and you may hear them talk about the Last Supper. Today we're going to have the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper. Some may say we're going to take communion today. Then others will make reference to the Eucharist. But I want you to be familiar with all three, no matter where you are, so that you have an understanding of what all of these, the reference that it makes and what it means. The context of what's going on when we get to Luke chapter 22, Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's already been there. He's already had the triumphant entry. Jesus is in Jerusalem, and when you look in the 21st chapter, you'll see in the 21st chapter that he has been teaching in the temple all week. Well, he had to clean out the temple first. Y'all know that's when he went to the temple, and when he went to the temple and saw what was going on, Jesus pitched a fit. And he cleaned the temple out, and then he went in and taught in the temple all week. His itinerary was something like this. He would be there, and he would teach in the temple during the day. And then in the evening, he would go out And the Bible says that he would go out in the evening in the Mount of Olives. He would spend the evening outside the city. So I don't know if they were camping out there, but the reference is that he was in the temple teaching during the day, and then he and the disciples went, and it's as if they camped and stayed outside the city in what is known as the Mount of Olives. In chapter 21, when you get to verse 37, there were some religious folk in verse 37. They made up their mind, and they said they had a committee meeting. I don't know who called the motion. I don't know who seconded. But they came to the conclusion in chapter 1. You'll see it in verse, in chapter 22, the chief priest, that's the second verse, the chief priest, the second verse, they decided that they wanted to get, it was time to get rid of, Jesus. And they wanted to get rid of Jesus, in, according to that second verse, because they were afraid of the people. Now watch the context of what's going on. In chapter 21, he'd been teaching all week long, and then he was staying outside the city. And then when we get to chapter 22, the chief priests, these folk who were in charge of the church, they saw what was happening, and somebody made the motion. Don't know who did it, don't know who passed it, but the conclusion was, it's time to get rid of Jesus. Now watch this. In the second verse, it also says why we need to get rid of Jesus. They said, we got to get rid of Jesus. And the text says, because they were afraid of the people. I didn't come to preach this part today, but why are they, the religious folk, now afraid of the people? You rewind, you think about it. They've been listening to Jesus all week long, and you do know Jesus tells the truth. He tells the truth whether he's on the mountainside or whether he's on a stormy sea. Jesus tells the truth, and he sure enough tells the truth in church. And when Jesus then spent a week telling the truth in church, the folk who used to have the mic are now saying it's time to get rid of Jesus because they are afraid of the people. Why are they afraid of the people? Because the people now know the truth. And you do know the truth will. So in the midst of a conspiracy, Jesus tells Peter and John, go prepare for the Passover. So the first thing I want to share with you, they often call this the Lord's Supper. Sometimes they call it the Last Supper because it's a reference, Charlie, to the fact that this is going to be the last Passover supper that Jesus will have on earth. It comes one time a year. It started when he was 12. I ain't got time to preach that and remind you, you know what happened the first time. He hung out, hanging around at the temple, this same temple. And Mom and them had already been gone on the road a whole day. And Jesus is still at the temple. Ain't got time. You put the meat on that bone. But this is the last time that Jesus is going to have the Passover here on earth. Now, we know that when he rose from the dead, he did have some fish sandwiches. So it ain't the last time he ate. So the Last Supper or the Lord's Supper is not a reference to the last time he ate on earth. Because remember, after he rose from the dead, Peter said, this is over. I'm going back fishing. And when Peter was coming back in that morning, Jesus was already on shore, already had a fire, already had some bread, already had some fish, but then he saw all of them and he said, hey, did you catch anything? And Peter looked and said, ain't nobody but the Lord. And he jumps out of the boat and runs to Jesus, and they had a meal together. So this ain't when you hear the Last Supper, it's not a reference to the last time Jesus ate. It's a reference to the last time Jesus had the Passover meal while he was on earth. Watch what happened. He says to Peter and John, Go prepare, make preparations to eat the Passover. Make preparations to eat the Passover. This is interesting. Watch this, John Bush. John Bush, he does not say, do y'all want to eat the Passover? Would you like to eat the Passover? No, because this is something that's on the calendar. When you are a Jew, Passover is on the calendar. It's something you keep on the calendar because of who you are and whose you are. It's not a question about whether or not we gonna do it. It ain't a question or not if it's convenient. It ain't a question or not, well, we can skip this one. No, this is something that's important. This is something that's significant. This is something that ought to be on any true blue Jew is going to have this on their calendar. Because it's important based upon who you are and whose you are. You keep it on the calendar in spite of the fact that it's going to cost you something. They're in Jerusalem. Jesus didn't live in Jerusalem. They're in Jerusalem, which means that you're going to have to either rent a place or find somebody to give you a place where you can have it. You're going to have to call. And you know that they don't give away lambs. In the Passover, you're going to have some food, you're going to have some bread, and you're going to have a prime lamb. Did I say prime? A prime lamb, because the rule said that in the Passover, you can't get nothing, no second. You can't get seconds. It has to be specific. It has to be a male lamb. It has to be a firstborn male lamb. It's got to be a firstborn male lamb without spot or blemish. And I'm telling you right now that when you're going to get a lamb, not a sheep, not a ewe, when you're going to get a lamb, when you're going to get one that's the firstborn, when you're going to get one that's the firstborn without spot or blemish, you're going to pay prime dollar. Oh, I can illustrate it right now. I got all kind of goats. I got some that just hit the ground last week. I got some that about 6 to 8 months old. They about 60, 80 pounds. I got some others that are about 175 pounds. Some that are 6 months old and some that are 3 and 4 years old. Now, I'm telling you right now, the ones that I cook are the ones that are 6 to 8 months old. Now, you can eat the ones that are 3 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old, but there is a great difference between the old ones and the young ones. And because there's a great difference, there's a great cost. There's a difference in cost. You can get a goat for about $2.25 on hoof. an old one, but if you want a young one, it may cost you $375 on hoof because it's prime. The rule was always, ever since Moses gave the instruction the first time, bring God the very best. It's on the calendar. There's an added cost. And you do that, all of that is done without question. Because all of it is really celebrating the fact that what, as a result, we've experienced a changed life. You put it on the calendar, you endure the cost, because what's really happening, you're celebrating a changed life. I'm gonna rewind, say it again. Here, but third, you put it on the calendar. It's just something we gonna do. This is something we gonna do every time God tells us to do it. We gonna pay the price to do it, because we're celebrating a changed life. Passover is celebrating a changed life. Passover celebrates the fact that God came in and sent us a deliverer. Passover celebrates the fact that I once was bound, but now I'm free. Passover celebrated the fact that I deserved to die, but because of the Lamb, the death angel, you missed it. I said the death angel, he should have been up in my house killing everybody in the house, but because we made a sacrifice from the one that was, it was a pricely cost, we put blood over the door, and when the death angel saw that we were under the blood, judgment passed over. And now we experience and live a changed life. Isn't this interesting? Watch this, Tracy. He does this in spite of the fact that there's a conspiracy going on. He knows there's some folk that don't like it. He knows there's some people that are trying to get rid of him. He knows that if the devil would have his way, they would skip it this year. But oh, thanks be to God that Jesus teaches us that there's some things you ought to keep on your calendar in spite of the fact that there's some folk that don't like you, in spite of the fact that the devil would like to see you go the other way. Matter of fact, that ought to be another reason, even more, for you to keep it on the calendar. Jesus says it's time for the Passover, because it celebrates. It's this last supper. And God has sovereignly arranged. Because here, watch what they said. Watch what they said. Where we gonna have it? You ain't got no house in Jerusalem. He says, tell you what, just go on into town, and you're gonna see something that you don't normally see. Says you'll see a man carrying a jar. Now think about this. Now there's some suggest that over 500,000 people flood Jerusalem during the Passover. And Jesus says, you're gonna find a dude. Now, when you go to the airport and you're waiting on somebody and they don't know you, they stand there with a sign with your name on it. And Jesus says, he ain't going to have your name on it. He ain't going to have your name. What you're going to see is a man carrying a water jar. He says, what you're going to see is a man doing something that normally you don't see a man do. Because normally women carry the jars, but you're going to see a man who's doing something in public that you don't normally see a man doing. Follow him. And when you follow him, he's going to take you to a house. Now, here's what's interesting. I believe that the man didn't own the house. I believe the man worked for the man who owned the house. Because then Jesus says, and when you get to the house, ask the owner of the house, the teacher said. Don't tell him you said. Tell him the teacher said. Where's the room that has, and here's what you're going to find. He's going to show you a large room. Got to be large. All us. All us going to be up in there. And you're going to see it furnished, meaning there's going to be a table, there's going to be a rug, it's going to be everything that you need to be comfortable. And he says, make the meal there. Here it is. It's a prepared time and a prepared place. Then he uses people to prepare the Passover. And he uses somebody, I believe, who's been in touch with the teacher, who's willing to open up his extra. Because let me tell you about the upper room. The upper room is the extra room. It's a room, it's an added room that folk built on top of the house. It's the bonus room. Hey, Daryl, Jesus has a relationship with somebody who's been blessed by God. And the person who's been blessed by God is willing to open up and let Jesus have access to what God gave him. I'm preaching. You just don't know it yet. You ought to have sense enough that since the Lord gave you the house and the bonus room, that whatever he needs, you ought to be willing to open it up to let him have access to it. And you don't see the man fussing. You don't see him cussing. You see that it's open and it's ready for them whenever Jesus, the teacher, calls on it. Because it's a celebration of a changed life. Let me go on. I got to hurry. I spent too much time on that. I'm sorry. I spent too much time on that. It's not the last time he ate. It's a celebration of the Passover, the last Passover supper that he would have on earth. Then there's the word communion. They up in the room and they're sitting down, and Jesus says in verse number 15, Jesus says to them, ooh-wee. I know Jesus is cheesing from ear to ear. I know he is, because look at the language. He says, I've been eagerly desiring to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Boy, I couldn't wait for this day to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. I've been waiting on it for us to get together, because I wanna spend this time with you. Jesus said, this is part of my bucket list. One of the things I want to do before I leave here, I want to spend my last Passover with you. Because it's a picture of fellowship. Because the Lord's table, the communion, this ain't a single, this ain't just about me. It's about the fellowship. This ain't just about you, because we need to be reminded of the fellowship. Because you may be the only child, and you may be the only child, but when it comes to God, ain't none of us, come here, the only child. Only children, they struggle sometimes sharing, because they ain't got to share. But Jesus say, I've been looking forward to this. And the word communion is really a word koinonia, where we would get the word koinonia, which is where we get the word fellowship, because it's a picture of fellowship. All the fellows in the same ship. It's not just a picture of fellowship, but it's also a picture of friendship. Because Jesus is expressing, before I leave here, I want to spend some time, some intimate time with you, because you my friend. We've been walking together. We've been working together. We've been fighting the devil together. God's brought us through some stuff. And so before I leave, I wouldn't want to leave without spending some intimate, personal time with you, because you're my friend. When I needed the boat, you let me use your boat. We were trying to figure out how we gonna feed all them folk. You went and found that little boy. Have I got a witness here? When other folk were trying to keep the kids from coming to the revival, you the one that said, suffer the little children, let them kids on in here. You were the one that were with me through thick and thick. And then Jesus says, I've been eagerly waiting because I want to spend some time with you, because you my friend. Because the last thing before I suffer, one of the last things I want to remember before I die is my time with you. Because it's a picture of communion. I ain't got time. I got to hurry up and finish this point. Can I flip it? Jesus saying, I've been eagerly wanting to spend some time with you. The question is, can you tell the Lord, I've been eagerly wanting to spend some time with you? Couldn't wait to get here today. I knew they were saying, don't snow, but I was determined. I wasn't going to let no sleep. I wasn't going to let no snow, because I wanted to spend some time with you. Jesus, I've been hanging out with Buchanan, T-Ray. I got a mean boss. I got some hateful neighbors. I couldn't wait to get to the fellowship, because, Lord, if there's anybody I want to see this week, I want to be in the fellowship with the saints, having communion, remembering my Lord today. Jesus said, I want to spend some time with you. I like looking at you. I like being with you. Cause all I came because of you. I'm going to suffer because of you. I'm going to get up in a few days because of you. Because our friendship, our fellowship, it's all tied to your future. And that's what you got to remember. It ain't about what's going on right now. Because I know Jesus, have I got a witness here? My future is going to be different. Because I know Jesus. Communion, it's a picture of communion. It's a picture of fellowship. It's a picture of, I've been every place else, but the last thing I want to do is hang out with my friend. My brothers and sisters in the family. Then there's this word, Eucharist. The text says he takes the bread and gives thanks. He takes the cup and gives thanks. Wait a minute. The Passover meal was already over. They done ate the lamb, bitter herbs, unleavened bread. And then he takes another loaf, blesses it, tell God thank you, breaks it and gives it to him, and says, this is my body that's given for you. In the same manner, the text says he takes the cup and he blesses it and tells God, thank you. I thought you tell God. Y'all stay focused now. See, ain't nothing but the devil, man. Ain't nothing but the devil. Y'all tell God, hey, listen. I thought you said thank you. At the beginning of the meal. Ain't that when you say thank you? They set the meal before you. Let me tell you the truth. Sometimes me and Ed, when we at Nelly's, because we usually get them two pancakes, two eggs, and two patties, and hash browns. I ain't supposed to have the hash browns. And we tell God thank you before the food come. Yeah. So, we got our butter already uncovered, and I don't want to wait on him, and he don't want to wait on me. And so after we order, we tell God thank you. But this is in the middle. Why he's stopping to say thank you again? He takes the bread and says thank you. He takes the cup and says thank you. Me too, Charlie. I was scratching my head. I was trying to figure out, what is he thanking God for? All I can conclude is that he is giving thanks because he's expressing appreciation for the assignment. Stay with me. He's already had time of fellowship. Now he's wholeheartedly embracing his assignment, and he takes this bread. They think it's just another piece of bread, but he gives it to them and says, eat this. This is my body that's given for you. And in the midst of doing all of that, he's still telling God, thank you. There's two things going on. Sometimes when you're talking, there is a message that you're giving for the person, but while you're talking to the person, there's also something that's going on in the secrets of your own mind and heart. It's as if he's saying, now I need y'all to take this and eat it, because you ain't got a clue of what it really means right now, but take it, eat, I'm telling you in advance, this is my body that's given for you. But in his heart, at the same time, knowing what he's about to go through, he's still telling God, thank you. Let me go one step further. He takes this cup, he says, y'all need y'all to drink this. This is my blood that's shed for you. Do this to remember me. And in his mind, he's still telling God, thank you. Here's what I'm trying to help somebody. While you are serving God, sometimes you're about to face some stuff that's going to hurt, but can you still say, sometimes you got to go through some stuff that you know going to be painful, but in the midst of it, can you still tell God? Sometimes people won't understand, and people People may not even appreciate why you're doing what you're doing, but in the midst of it, can you still tell God? He's teaching us how to thank God even though we got a tough assignment. I know it's going to be difficult, but give thanks. I know it's going to be rough, but give thanks. I know there's some people that may not appreciate it, but in the midst of it all, always remember to give. Remember to give thanks, because he's thanking God for his assignment. Thanking God that I can be the sacrifice. Thank God that I'm going to endure something awful. But the good news is he knows that God's going to be with him every step of the way. It's not nobody taking his life. He's laying down his life. And in 3 days, he's going to take it up again. And he tells God, thank you, because his eyes is not limited to what's happening on Friday. And that's why you got to learn how to celebrate God. You got to celebrate the whole week. The whole week. Sometimes you experience death on Friday, but you can't wait. You can't stop right there. Remember, he died on Friday, but on Sunday morning, he got up. Sunday is the day of victory. It's the day where we come to celebrate the Lord's Supper. It's the day where we come to have communion. It's the day where we have the Eucharist. It's the day where we tell God, thank you that you came. Thank you that your son died. Thank you that you raised him from the dead. And thank you that he's coming again. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fear's gone, because I know who holds my future. And now, my life is worth what? It's worth the living. All because he lives. Somebody looking at me right now.